welcome to Awin Talks, the affiliate and partner marketing podcast. I'm your host, Rob Davidson from Awin's global strategy team, and I'm hosting solo today without my usual accomplice. Kevin is busy preparing his presentation for the upcoming Think Tank conference here in London, which takes place on the 26th of May, a week today as we record, in fact. Now, if we manage to get this episode out before then, you can still get tickets for what promises to be an insight-packed agenda. Alongside Kev's presentation on the Awin product roadmap, featuring some really fascinating tidbits on what our product teams have been working on recently, we've also got a series of talks from colleagues across the business covering everything from the latest trends in telecoms, travel, and retail, as well as to the rising popularity of brand partnerships and a panel on how online marketing activities can support physical in-store shopping goals too. Now, if this episode comes out after the event, do look out for some follow-up articles and reviews of the event, and we'll get some of the speakers onto our next episode to give us a taste of how it all went. If you missed the UK version of Think Tank though, never fear, you've still got time to make the German edition. Think Tank Berlin takes place over the 21st and 22nd of June and features both a German and an English language agenda, making it even more accessible to attendees. I'll insert some links to the landing page for that event on the webpage for this episode so you can book your tickets for that. And it really does feel like in-person events are back in a big way at the moment. Awin recently featured at the OMR Digital Marketing Conference in Hamburg, where there were almost 70,000 people in attendance. So hopefully one or two of you at least may manage to meet with my colleagues at the Awin stand. And perhaps you even caught our CCO David Lloyd's masterclass session that explored how technology partners are helping businesses to outsource their marketing innovation. As if that wasn't enough in-person entertainment, then last night, at the time recording that is, London played host to the UK Performance Marketing Awards, the industry's annual awards gala for partner marketing. Now, I unfortunately missed it, but I can tell you that my colleagues had a great time and managed to bag 6 awards featuring our work with Sky, Boohoo, AO.com and Money Supermarket. So some really nice representation across different sectors there. Not to mention the widely coveted awards for Best Team for our Key Accounts team. And of course, the big one, Publisher's Choice of Network. Thanks so much for any of you who voted for us as your choice this year. So, with all those updates and news items out of the way, let's get on with today's episode. I may be alone in the studio today, but we've still got a packed episode for you with a couple of great interviews with some of our affiliate partners. A little bit later, Kevin will be making an appearance when he speaks to Ray Wright, the co-founder and chief revenue officer at the home furniture comparison website, youfurnish.com. They'll be talking about the site's origins and how affiliate partnerships are supporting the business's growth in a sector that's really gained increased popularity from consumers in recent years. But first, and ahead of our Think Tank conference in Germany, I sat down with one of the region's top travel partners, Urlaubs Tracker, or Holiday Tracker in English, to find out how they had been affected by the last 2 years of lockdown restrictions and what their response to the slump in travel demand had been. Anka Meslow, their team lead for key account management, was kind enough to talk me through the history of the blog, how it got started, and how it's grown to be such an influential local provider of travel inspiration. In fact, it was deemed to be of such value to local audiences and brands in the German market that Urlaubs Tracker is also one of our featured partners in this year's Awin report, the Power 100 list. So if you'd like to read more about them, please do check out their profile in the free report. But for now, on to the interview. Hi Anka, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I hope you too.
Yeah, really good, thanks. I wanted to start off just to give the audience a bit of a feel for who Urlaubs Tracker are. Could you tell us about the website and the business and how it all got started?
Yeah, sure. So Urlaubs Tracker was founded in 2013 and is now actually one of the largest blogs in Germany and Austria. And everything started with our founder, Jonas, who wanted to travel around the world while he studied. And he wanted to travel only for the cheapest price to save some money. But at the same time, of course, seeing as much as possible from the world. So he looked up the best prices for trips and thought he could share his research with others. And that was the beginning of Urlaubstracker. And until now, well, our biggest goal is still to make travel affordable for everybody. And there are still so many people who think they could never visit like long haul destinations or do multiple trips per year because they don't have enough money, but we make this possible. So we have like a deal team who searches the best deals and help our users to save time and money, because once we found a great offer actually for unbeatable prices, we write a content article with all necessary information about the advantages of the deal and why our users should book it. So for example, you can see directly the travel dates where you can book for the cheapest prices, or you can see if it's a 3-star or 4-star hotel, if it has breakfast or all-inclusive and all kind of things like this. And yeah, we actually convert the offers into high quality content and share it with our community. And yeah, over the years, we have expanded the blogs from deals and offers, also with travel news, travel tips and articles to inspire people on the possible destinations and what awaits them. And the best articles and deals are pushed through our various social media channels. Like, in this way, we can generate a high reach. And in non-pandemic times, we reach approximately 3.5 million visitors per month. So, yeah.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I did actually study German at school, but this is going back a long time ago. Urlaubstracker itself, that means, is it like holiday tracker? Is that right?
Yes, holiday that's tracker. Totally right. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so far we're only in Germany and Austria, and that's why we still have the German name. So, but I guess if it gets more international, the name would change to something like, holiday tracker.
Yeah. And it's obviously you've been going since 2013. How long have you been with the business for individually?
Since 3 years now.
Okay.
Working for Urlaubstracker. Yeah, I worked before in the travel tourism industry as well, but Urlaubstracker 3 years now.
So the website's been going since 2013. So how do you think the relationship with the audience has really changed over time? You mentioned obviously that you guys have grown beyond just the borders of Germany. You've also got your kind of engagement with your social audience as well. Social media is really important to the business. So how would you characterize those changes over time?
Yeah, well, our community grows older together with us. So we have to adjust our products accordingly, of course, to satisfy all new interests which are coming up. We offer like a broad selection of different travel related products like package travel deals, hotels and flights, but also round trips, cruises. But now in addition, we added over time offers on travel related products, for example, like suitcases or credit cards or vouchers, or also more trips for people with small babies or singles, because the community grows and we want to satisfy them. Yeah, in the last years, for example, during the beginning of the pandemic, we added some special offers, let's say for example vacation at home, like deals for palm trees or streaming or world maps. So it's just to satisfy the current needs. And as you said, we also expanded our social media channels. In the beginning, we were only present on Facebook. It was like the biggest social media network at that time, but now of course we reach our users with our deals on Instagram and TikTok, and we have a browser push and a few other platforms, so every user can also stay informed about the best deals via their favorite media channel.
Yeah, that makes sense. So focusing in on our industry and the affiliate industry, what role has affiliate marketing really played in the success and the growth of the business over time?
Affiliate marketing is really the most important part of our business, I have to say, because we're constantly growing due to the easy access to advertisers via networks like Avon. And we always find a good matching partner for our articles, like even if it's not directly a travel deal, but for example, an article about the best food in India or tickets for events or insurances and so on, it's really easy to get the access there. And let's take the article about the best food in India. Like, it's a very great example. We wrote this article about the most common local dishes to inspire people. What you can cook at home in the pandemic is keeping you from traveling. And thanks to the affiliate marketing, of course, and the network, we found a matching partner. and added a link in the article to a website where our users can buy the necessary ingredients for those local dishes directly online. So the wide range of partners helps us a lot to stay flexible and offer the best quality to our community and make money at the same time, of course. And all this without having like a own booking engine or our own product, because we only offer this service. And yeah, this flexibility also allows us to stay the authentic travel blog, which we are, and to stay authentic to our core mission. And we don't rely on a single partner, but we search on over 300 websites for the best deals, and it's a win-win situation for everybody.
No, it's great to have that kind of diversity of options. And I guess kind of segueing nicely into my next question, which is obviously about the impact of COVID-19, which has been profoundly kind of bad for the travel industry on a broad level. I guess one of the strengths of the affiliate channel is that flexibility, maybe, to work with different advertisers at a time when everything was shut down. I mean, how did you guys manage to navigate that whole situation?
Yes, it has been very difficult, well, for the whole industry, but also for us too. And I mean, due to like the recurring closures of destinations, our community, of course, was like very uncertain where to travel. So we realized that we had to be super flexible and we have to adapt to the changes on a daily basis. For example, like when we heard Austria is opening again, we were able to start pushing those offers today, but instead Netherlands closed, and at the same time we had to stop promoting those deals again. It was very hard, but it's not only bad like when you have to rethink what you're actually doing, because we became more innovative. We continued working on new projects such as our travel news, giving the users most up-to-date information on how and where travel is possible, which was really a good thing because those informations are like essential for travelers in those times. Yeah, we also started to build new verticals like credit cards, and we used the time to launch our new Urlaubstracker app, which was also great because we had a little bit more time to invest in those projects. And yeah, it was like for upgrading the experience for our users. And now that traveling is picking up again, we are already much stronger than we were like ever before. And that makes us happy also, because we saw it was a really hard time, but everything has like good and bad sides. So
No, it sounds like there's been quite a few silver linings for you guys to be able to kind of really optimize some of those elements of your business, and now you're in a better place to launch them, which is really positive. So when you're considering an affiliate partnership with a brand, whether it's a traditional travel brand or maybe it's a credit card business, or you know, you mentioned about luggage, for instance, is another strand that you've got to your partners, what is it that really constitutes a good partnership? What do you think is the kind of vital element of that?
Open and honest partnership is really the most important thing. I mean, like the affiliate business is just a face-to-face business. You know everybody, everybody knows you, and it's a very friendly get-together. And to ensure we can offer the best value, we need to know what the partner provides and what are his USPs, so we can create the best possible content. Like from our side, of course, we also need to make sure that the advertiser knows our business as well. And yeah, it is also important to be aware about upcoming specials, events or sales which have partner and which helps us especially to push the offers. Like it makes a big difference, for example, if you get every week a newsletter from partner with all his upcoming projects, or if you get maybe once a year an update and in the meantime you forget about the partner. Also really important is that we have to trust to our partners that everything works well with the tracking, payment or anything else. And if there are any issues, which can always happen, but we value for that reason an open and clear communication between us and the advertiser. And we like the partnerships when we know the partner and when we can get in touch with them whenever we have any questions, and of course the other way around. So actually I would say like it's being in a good relationship, it's all about communication and trust. That's the most important thing.
I think you can extend that beyond just affiliate marketing as well, I think, can't you? Okay, so final question for you for now then. Looking to the future, what kind of trends do you think are going to be taking off in the travel industry, and how might these impact or influence your own strategy as a business?
Yeah, so at the moment, travelers are willing to pay more money for their trips as long as they can travel. We see that people increasingly are searching for exotic and once-in-a-lifetime dream destinations, because nobody knows how long they are still able to travel, for example, to Maldives or to Machu Picchu or to South Africa. And I mean, you always want what you cannot get as easily as usual, right? So, yeah, but at the same time, like the trend is to travel last minute to be sure that the journey can take place. I mean, I do it as well because everything can change so fast in regards to restrictions or if you have to change to be flexible, why you should not book a flight at the end, like when you know that you can fly right away. So at least you can be happy if you book because you know you can travel. Yeah, I assume that's also a reason why so many tour operators are now offering like flexible tariffs. And in addition to exotic locations, we see more local travel. So people are looking to rent holiday homes with their friends, maybe because they haven't seen each other for a long time or they just value the time with friends more than before. They also want to discover their own area still. They are looking now more and more for Instagrammable places. That's also a really big trend coming up to experience some adventures. Yeah, in the future, I'm really looking forward to more like virtual reality travels or faster connections, hyperloops and all this stuff like robots in hotels and drone taxis. Like I'm very fascinated by the new technology and I'm really looking forward to trying those things. And I think in the end, the biggest lesson from the pandemic times has been that even the best plans ahead can be completely turned upside down. And I think the most important thing is to stay flexible and innovative and open-minded in order to not miss any of the new and emerging needs and trends. So I think that's the most important thing. And yeah, this way we can also make sure at Urlaubstracker that we continue to provide the best offers to our users at the right time and to keep our business growing also in the future. So great.
There's a lot to look forward to there. Okay, final question, just to put you on the spot from a personal perspective. I'm intrigued to know from somebody who's kind of so immersed in the travel sector and has obviously done so much traveling themselves, what's your favorite holiday destination?
Well, I'm really looking forward to go to Maldives because I've been to Machu Picchu so far and to a lot of other destinations. I mean, I worked on cruise ships for a long time ago, but at least I could get a chance to see a lot of nice places. But Maldives is on my top five list to go, and I really want to do it this or next year at least, because that's also a destination you never know how long it's still possible to go there. And
definitely. Well, I hope you get the chance to go and visit over at the Maldives.
Yes, me too.
Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast today, and best of luck for 2022.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Anchor there for telling us more about Urlaubstracker's journey, particularly given the pretty wild circumstances in the travel industry that they've faced recently. Here's hoping that as things start to settle down into some sense of normality, they can continue to provide great value to their audience. And now, as promised, Kevin took some time a few months back to sit down with Ray Wright, co-founder of YouFurnish.com, to ask him about the comparison site's background, their growth, and the value that partnerships contribute to their success.
So today I'm joined by Ray Wright, co-founder of YouFurnish. Thanks for joining us today, Ray.
Thanks, Kevin. Great to be here and I appreciate you having me.
Great. So today we're going to talk a little bit about YouFurnish. For those who are listening who are unfamiliar with your business, Ray, perhaps you could just tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. No problem. So YouFurnish is a search and discovery platform for home furniture and furnishings. So for those people who are in the UK, you might be familiar with platforms like Rightmove and Autotrader that help aggregate for the housing market or the vehicle market. And we do exactly the same for furniture and furnishings. So we bring over 160 furniture retailers, both large and small, onto the one website. And it allows consumers to use our website and basically search, compare, shop and buy across those retail partners.
I mean, I think it's a couple of years. Is it 2 years since we met Performance In?
Probably about 2 years. Yeah. I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago, right? But about 2 years ago.
So skip back 2 years. How did the idea come about in the first place?
Yeah. So the way it came about was that my wife and I actually bought an apartment together. So this is going back to sort of 2017. And when we moved into the apartment, or before we moved into the apartment, actually, we were sort of going through that whole 3-month window, you know, you've got all the legal paperwork going through, the transfer into the title. And we used that time to research and look at the types of furniture we wanted to place into the apartment. And that was predominantly spent online in terms of that research, because we're both quite busy in our jobs and we're out and about, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And what we found was that it was highly fragmented when it came to the online search experience for furniture. So we found that we were in and out of different websites. There were a lot of things we didn't know. You know, we couldn't find certain bits of information, and it was all over the place. And really that experience led us to say, well, why isn't there one place where you can find all the retailers and all their products and you can compare them and you can get the best deals or find the perfect item of furniture in one place? And really that was the genesis for it, Kevin. So we went from that point of sort of ideation into, right, well, let's really think about what kind of user experience people would want to have. So we started to design that. We started to think about what kind of journeys people would want to have. And as we ideated that and took it forward, we then started to say, all right, well, we need to actually start bringing retailers into the platform. So we went through a stage of thinking about it, starting to build out something, and then turning it into a fully fledged business and starting to sign retail partners. And we've been on that journey ever since, really.
So what have been the key moments for you then? What would you say are the light bulb moments for YouFurnish?
I think the first thing that sort of, you know, presented itself to us was really let's work through what the consumer journey looks like and let's understand the pain point. So we spent a lot of time in the early stages of our business actually running focus groups and interviewing people and looking at what those journeys look like to try and find the threads in terms of, you know, what were those things that people were experiencing? Where were they feeling frustrated? And it's quite an emotional process buying furniture for a home. You know, it's something that people feel very proud of, their house proud, but, you know, they feel like they can be disconnected from the process if they feel frustrated. So we really wanted to understand those things and really going through that exercise actually helped focus the mind around what do we need to create and why. And then I think that the next moment for us was, you know, starting to get into engaging retailers and trying to get them bought into what we're doing. And we were probably met in the early days with a little bit of apprehension around that, because the retailers would say, well, we have a presence in market and this is what we do and that kind of thing, which is completely fair enough. But actually, when we got to the nitty gritty of the type of experience that we were trying to deliver to them, you know, that's where we really started to understand what kind of experience they were going through and ultimately what was the value that we could bring back to them as well. And once we worked that out, we started to really hone in on it. And that's where we saw a lot of momentum coming in terms of retail partners joining. And there's this one sort of famous bit sort of behind it, and that was that we had a lot of smaller retail partners, but we realized that for, you know, for the consumer and for people to really believe, we needed to bring significant retail partners into the platform. So there was a two-month period there where we managed to sign up John Lewis, followed by Dunelm, followed by Made.com in succession. And really, I think that's when we started to believe even more in what we were building. And I think that's when we started to get a lot more momentum with consumers as well. So those were some of the big moments on the way, Kevin, that have helped us progress to where we are.
So obviously you're building a business out, you're looking for monetization options. What take us through the journey about how you decided on that?
It's a good question. So I think you learn as you go and you find opportunities to monetize as you go as well. I think what we tried to start from was let's solve the consumer problem and then let's look at the behaviors and how people engage with content, and then the monetization would come off the back of that. I think, you know, having gone into it and looking at it, we said, okay, the affiliate world seems to align quite well to what we're trying to achieve commercially, because ultimately we're trying to take people on a journey of I'm thinking about furnishing my home, I'm thinking about things I want for my home, right down to I'm discovering products and I'm going out and I'm making purchases. And then you've got the retailer on the other side saying, I want to connect with these people and I want to sell them stuff, right? So we sort of went through that sort of model and we said, okay, the affiliate model works quite well. And for us, we looked at both the sort of CPA or the commission-led model, but we also looked at CPC and cost per click based on us being able to drive leads and high-quality traffic through to the retailers. So we started with that. And then as we started to evolve and grow our audience and grow our platform, particularly as we started to move more into email and grow our member base, then we started to realize that tenancy is something that we can really offer. And really, it's that value exchange of we can help brands, you know, not only just sell product, but we can actually help them promote their brand, grow brand awareness, you know, launch new products. We use data to drive engagement and personalize offers to consumers as well. So we started to realize that there were more and more things that we could monetize along the journey, up to and including right now, data and insights, because we are seeing so many market trends based on what people are searching for, the types of products people are buying, you know, the types of filters people are applying when they're looking at categories. So we realized we can offer a lot more. So now our ability to monetize actually flows across three separate streams. But it's these things that evolve and you learn as you go.
Yeah, so it's really interesting that you say that, because one of the things that I've always been frustrated about is how affiliates don't use their data very well. They're either very guarded about it in that they don't want to share the data, or they don't really recognize just how powerful their data can be.
100%. Like, totally agree. And you know, my background was working for a marketing data SaaS platform. So sort of understood the principles of what that could do for businesses, and probably didn't realize the level of frustration that many retailers had when it came to aggregating data. So they know what they know about their own platforms, but for them to be able to aggregate market data and help inform decisions around what they should advertise, what their procurement chain should look like, and the way that that runs all the way through to manufacturing, we realized that that's quite a challenge for them. And obviously we realized that as a business, we are a technology and data business that can offer advertising opportunities and content, but actually it's all this underlying behavioral stuff that actually we can leverage and add value to the supply chain in. So that's really led to a bit of a movement for us, and we'll continue to grow that as we grow as a business and become more powerful.
So we talked a little bit about the affiliate model. Just interested in how receptive you're finding brands when you're talking to them through affiliate networks, how receptive they are to the affiliate model.
Yeah, I think very, very receptive, actually. I mean, it's super positive. So what we're finding is that, particularly in the furniture space, that the space is moving so rapidly online. You know, what you're seeing is a massive sort of push, particularly through COVID, from companies that were traditionally store-led, and you know, you'd call them bricks and mortar type of retailers. You're seeing those now move into becoming more digital players, and maybe they're a little bit behind the curve in terms of their experience when it comes to digital, but what we're seeing is that they want to evolve. So really for us, it's a case of making sure that they understand what our proposition is, and we do a lot of work around education, taking them on the journey of what the customer experience is and the pain points, and showing them how we're trying to be innovative in terms of connecting them with those consumers. And really, I think that's the important part about how we try to make those distinctions or connections in terms of who we are as a business, as a proposition.
Yeah, it's probably the question that account managers get asked more than any. You know, who are the next big affiliates? Who are my next sort of great opportunities within the channel? And obviously, as a predominantly content based affiliate, you're probably in a pretty positive position from that point of view.
I think so. And one of the things that we're really excited about is we've really managed to evolve and build those relationships. So you know, now that we've been on the journey for, you know, we launched the business in 2020, in July 2020, and now we've been on the journey for the best part of 16 months. And, we, you know, obviously a massive scale this year, which we can talk about. But, you know, it's enabled us to actually take that time to build those relationships as well. And I think that's where we want to be. You know, we want to be a trusted partner to these businesses and be on that journey. So all positive in terms of where we are right now.
You talked a little bit about the scale of the business, and I think I'm right in saying that you've just successfully raised $2.5 million.
Correct.
£2 million.
Correct, yeah.
And the bit that I'm always interested in is when businesses are going out and they're speaking to investors, people that aren't necessarily in the affiliate industry or familiar with the industry, how do you go out and talk about the affiliate model and the benefits to your business?
It's a great question. I think, by and large, you know, most investors wouldn't be that familiar with the affiliate model. I think a lot of people are familiar with e-commerce now, but they probably haven't been introduced into the affiliate model as much as what they've been exposed to e-com, even though it's quite closely aligned. So what we really focus on when we speak to the investment market is we actually focus on the consumer problem and the challenges that the retailers actually have themselves. And then we just dovetail our USP into that to say, look, this is how we're different. And I think using, you know, assimilated types of models, so companies like Auto Trader and Rightmove, for example, Skyscanner might be another one, in flights aggregation, actually helps bring people to a place where they can appreciate what it is that you're actually building and why, you know, why you're looking for investment. You know, for us, it's all about building a really solid technological foundation and ensuring that we really have our ducks in a row when it comes to data, and then being able to educate based on, look, this is why we're looking for money, and then this is what it will mean for a consumer experience using our website, and then this is how it will monetize with unit economics behind it. So we're sort of super focused on that, and, you know, some people want to get really detailed around it, others don't, but we try to back things up with hard facts and data to show what that looks like over time.
And how receptive are you finding these businesses? What are the next steps for you in terms of additional funding?
So, well, really for us, it's around scaling the brand. So, you know, we want to become a household brand in market. You know, we want people who are thinking about furnishing their homes to think youfurnish.com first. So we want them to be coming to our platform and saying, look, I know I can come on here and I can compare across retailers and I can find Dunelm and John Lewis and Made.com and I can find smaller niche boutique types of companies like Grace and Gray, the Norfolk Bay Company, the French Bedroom Company. So there's a whole array of sort of, you know, retailers and value we can bring. So ultimately, it's about educating the consumer about our proposition. We've got really good engagement with our retailers. We've scaled quite well when it comes to consumers using our platform. But really, that's where we want to go, is market awareness. So when we talk about that next step, and we talk about the investment, it's around scaling that side of the business up and continuing to iterate on the tech, of course, and bring new and innovative ways of searching and discovering furniture to the platform.
So I know we've had a number of conversations talking about the sort of ins and outs of the industry, the pitfalls of the industry. What would you say are the key things that you've learned on your journey?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing I've learned is you've just got to be really, really close to the data, and you've got to be really close to your advertisers, or we call them retail partners in the business. So I think, you know, having open and transparent conversations is important. There are so many ways that advertisers or retail partners can monetize. You know, there's so many channels they can invest in, you know, everything from above the line through to, you know, more digital channels like Facebook, Google, Pinterest, these types of things. So really what we aim to do is we aim to look at the data and performance across our platform and how does that sort of transpose into conversions and volume of clicks and that kind of thing. And then what we do is we try and have transparent conversations about what they're seeing, you know, what they're seeing across their channels, and how that aligns to the value that we're bringing to them. So, you know, when we started, we probably were having those sorts of conversations, but they were quite nascent. But as we've learned more about it, you know, we've realized that having that sort of more transparent and integrated relationship is critical to success. So that would be our biggest learning, I would say, Kevin, in terms of developing in the channel.
Great. So thanks very much for that, Ray. So if people want to find out a little bit more, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, of course. So anyone that wants to get in touch, look, I'm happy for people to reach out to me directly on my email, which is ray@youfurnish.com. Or you can come to the website, which is youfurnish.com, and we have a contact us page. On that page, you have a form where you can reach out to us, or we have a telephone number to ring our head office, which is on the page, so you can reach out through those mediums.
Thanks very much for your time today, Ray.
You're more than welcome. Thanks, Kevin.
Great to hear more about YouFurnish there with Ray. Clearly exciting times ahead for both them and for Earlabs Tracker. But that's all we've got time for on this week's episode of Awin Talks. Thanks for joining us today, and I look forward to returning with another new installment of the podcast very soon. In the meantime, if I don't see you at one of our upcoming events, I will see you back here hopefully instead. Goodbye.